Welcome everyone to the Seattle Mariners Pod. My name is Jeff Budke, alongside Peyton Moreno. Peyton, it's great to have you here. Actually, it's great to be here in your home.
I was about to say, man, it's great to have you here, actually, at my house.
Yeah, this is a good change of pace. We're going to be in Seattle in person a little bit more often. And so we're going to be able to enjoy each other's company and enjoy three straight Mariners wins like we have right now.
I'm grinning ear to ear. You can't see me out there, but I am.
You can't stop the grinning. You can't stop the smiling. It's a good place to be. First time this year we've had three straight wins. Saturday we had Felix Hernandez on the hill. Love having Felix out there. Gave a strong performance, won 3-2. Yesterday, Sunday, 2-1 victory with Morris and Bay hitting solo home runs. And tonight was just a complete game victory for Joe Saunders at Safeco Field.
I think the complete game is one of my favorite. I don't know if you call that a stat, but I think it's one of my favorite stats in all of baseball. There's just something about a complete game that like kind of harkens back to the days of old, if you know what I'm saying. Back when pitchers wouldn't just go, I'll throw six innings and ow, my arm, you know. But like you were saying, this is a happy time. We're smiling. We're happy. We're excited that the Mariners just won three in a row. But at the same time, it's a dangerous time because this is where, I mean, for us, winning three games in a row is a big deal. For a team like the Yankees or basically most anyone else, it's not that big a deal. So I feel like this is where, if we're already starting to feel this hubris after three games, like, well, we're getting it now. Like, you know, there are hot streaks and cold streaks. And so I'm nervous that people are going to start expecting more of this team than they're able to deliver on a consistent basis. Consistency is my top worry.
Absolutely. And one thing that I've been wanting for consistency from this team is winning a series, which we got to see this weekend with the Angels.
Finally.
Yeah, it was our first one. I don't even think we'd be worried about being hubris, you know, having pride, if we hadn't lost 2 or 3 to Houston just a week ago. Going back to your point about complete games, you know, that definitely is a stat. As actually, I wrote it in the notes before tonight's game for us. The Mariners don't have a complete game and have the most games played in baseball. What that means is the Mariners have only had one off day this season. Every other team in baseball has had at least two.
Well, we're getting Thursday off this week, so
correct,
that'll be nice.
The Mariners have played, this was their 28th game tonight. The Twins have played 21. It's just it's a radical difference, and to have a complete game, to rest your bullpen, and, you know, just not an off day, not a scheduled off day, but to have a day off is a great thing. Get people, you know, going, get them re-amped. It's good for the team, and it's their first one of the year, and it was desperately needed.
That's kind of surprising, because I feel like Felix is a little bit of a complete game machine. He's got that stamina. He'll throw those complete games sometimes, more so than most people in the league. So it's kind of strange that we don't have even one yet. And it's strange that our first one came from Saunders. I wouldn't have expected that.
Safeco Joe, as they're calling him now.
7-0 all time at Safeco, is it?
It moved to 8-0 tonight.
Oh, 8-0. There we go. Yeah, seriously.
Why we love Felix of the day. Felix Hernandez on Saturday went 8 innings and pitched quite well, gave up 2 earned runs. You ready for this? It's the 65th time in his career that he's pitched 8-plus innings and given up 2 earned runs or less. 65 times he's done that?
That's insane.
Hasn't won very many of those games, but it is a crazy thing to think about his consistency and what he's brought to this team. That's an absurd number.
Well, a stat like wins and losses, especially when dealing with the Mariners, is a total wash. Because Felix can pitch like that and give up 1 or 2 runs, and we can still lose because no one will hit, you know? So when looking at Felix, and I think everyone knows this, you don't look at wins and losses as that monumental stat. I mean, even the year he won the Cy Young, he only had like 13 or 14 wins?
Yeah, I believe he was 13 and 12.
Yeah, he had a pretty low number of wins for a Cy Young winner, and I'm kind of glad that he still got it, because that stat isn't as monumental, I think, as people make it out to be.
Yeah, absolutely. Really quickly, you can follow us on Twitter, @PeytonMoreno. You know, we're friends. I promise, we're friends. Dan Marino is my favorite athlete growing up, and I want that to be your last name.
Really?
That's just what I don't know why. I loved watching him as a kid.
Well, if it helps you out, man, you can call me Peyton Moreno. I don't care.
That's cool. You can follow Peyton on Twitter. You can follow myself @JeffBudke. And you can like our Facebook page. were on there, got some likes, and it's great to get the conversation going. We've had a few people write us, and we'll get to that at the end of the show. When I look at a 12-16 record, 12 wins in a month, that's not bad. It's not great, but, you know, one or two wins the other way, we're at 500, and that's where this team needs to be. And the biggest and brightest spot going in from tonight's game for me was seeing Michael Saunders and just his power. He had a home run in the first inning, but the biggest thing for me was his speed and his athleticism that he brings to the team. Scoring from first on the Seager ended up being a triple, but I think if there had been no one on base, it would have been a double. Any thoughts or any excitement from Seager? I just went on a little rant there.
Or Seager, Saunders. Well, definitely. I love seeing the Condor. He's one of my favorite Mariners of all time. And if you ask me, like, people talk about, you know, Montero as a developing hitter. People talk about Ackley and his development, as stunted as it's been in spots this year. But in my opinion, the player that probably has the biggest upside, at least the fielder out there, the batter, is Michael Saunders. So definitely excited to see him. And it was awesome to see him hit a home run just right off the bat.
Yeah, second pitch, right down the pipe, and he smoked it.
Yeah.
Michael Saunders actually will bring something else to, like I said, his speed. The Mariners are last in the American League in stolen bases. Only four players have stolen bases for the Mariners right now. I'm not trying to, like, embarrass you or anything.
Oh, you're going to have me guess who they are. I was hoping you'd do that. Okay. Andy Chavez.
No, he does not have a stolen base.
Wow, okay.
Let me make sure, because I have the list here. But no, he does not.
Okay. Dustin Ackley?
Nope.
Well, he'd have to get on base to steal bases.
Yeah, that's true.
I guess Michael Saunders?
Correct, Michael Saunders. We have another outfielder on the DL who has a stolen base.
Oh, Franklin Gutierrez.
Correct. And now we have two.
I forgot he existed for a second there. That's sad. Let me see. Who else could it be? Seager?
Nope.
I'm not going to go through the roster here, so just tell me the last two.
The other two, Brendan Ryan, which I think we could have guessed. Yeah. And then my favorite, Carlos Figuero, in his two games, has a stolen base.
Oh, I should have remembered that.
The Mariners have 7 stolen bases this season. A far cry from just the blueprint of the team a couple years ago. I think we're seeing a transition into trying to hit with more power. And after, of course, a slow start, maybe we're starting to reap the benefits of that. But Saunders will at least bring some speed to the table.
And, I mean, running the risk of getting too proud or getting too hyped up on this Mariners team right now, what I saw the past few games has really inspired a bit of hope. I mean, the majority of the team is now batting over 200, which is not necessarily something we could have said.
It's not a given.
Yeah, it's not a given with this team. And so it's nice to see that. It's nice to see Ackley's batting, like, what, 214 or something like that? As opposed to last time I went to Safeco Field, Ackley was batting, like, you know, under 100, I'm pretty sure. He was barely hitting anything. So it's nice to see that. I feel like it's starting to turn around, and it might be a slow turnaround, but it's coming. Here it is, you know. And this is our opportunity. We have to take it.
Dustin Ackley has the quietest 9-game hit streak of all time. He got the night off tonight, but in his last 7 games, he's hitting .440, only 1 strikeout. 9 of his 11 hits are singles, but you're starting to see him hit to the opposite field and just be on base.
That's all we can ask for at this point. I don't care if he gets extra base hits. Let's put it this way. I'll be concerned with Dustin Ackley's slugging percentage when Dustin Ackley has a batting average. How about that?
Speaking of, it finally happened. Justin Smoke hit his first home run in the horrible Houston game on Wednesday that we lost 10-3. But it was good to see Smoke have some power. He hit .286 last week, raising his batting average to a lofty .211.
Ooh.
The lineup that we saw tonight and yesterday, it had Morales at first base. First time this season he's played first base 2 games in a row. And I'm wondering if the writing is kind of on the walls for Smoke.
I was thinking that exact same thing when I was listening to the game on the radio in my car earlier today. I feel like when they announced that Morales was going to be at first, when they were doing the lineup announcements, I was like, oh, they're phasing Smoke out. They're starting to phase him out a little bit. And I mean, Morales isn't the best fielding first baseman, but shoot, man, I'll take it if he can hit.
And I don't actually think it's over for Smoke. You and I have talked. I kind of said 6 weeks. I don't really know if there's a certain timetable, but I do think he's going to be playing less. And maybe that'll give him an opportunity to, like, really focus on batting if he DHs. I don't know.
He seems to hit better when he's DHing anyway.
Yeah. What was really interesting yesterday, on Sunday, was Kelly Shopik caught and Jesus Montero played DH. So the DH in the American League is a non-substitutional position. And what that means is if Montero got on first, you could pinch run for him, but he can't take a defensive position from anybody else because he's technically the pitcher.
Mm-hmm.
So if Kelly Shopik were to get hurt or the game were to go 18 innings, Shopik would have had to stay at catcher or they would have had to resort to Brendan Ryan. I don't know who they didn't have a third string catcher.
Do you remember last year? Oh, there was a time where Olivo was on the DL and Montero was DHing pretty regularly and Jaso would catch, where Munenori Kawasaki stepped up and came out and said that he had started catching in practice.
Just in case.
In case of an emergency. And I mean, like, that's the go-getter kind of attitude that made me love Munenori Kawasaki. See a need, fill a need.
Yeah.
But that's just reminiscent of that. I'm not sure where I'm going with that. But it reminds me of that.
I don't think Wedge had a plan. I don't think he had one. If Shopik had gotten hurt in the fourth inning, that's a lot of innings with...
just some random...
Who is the bulk? I'm trying to think of the bulkiest body in the infield, because I'm not... Ibanez isn't catching.
Nope.
Morse seems like a good catcher, but I don't want him doing that.
No, you don't want to risk that. Because catching's hard on your body, and Morse's finger is already having issues a little bit. I mean, he's getting over it, but you don't want to put him behind the dish. Who could catch? That's crazy. I mean, this is like the stupidest hypothetical of all time, but...
Fortunately, it didn't come to any end, but with the transition of Smoke, if that actually takes place and they want to get Montero more at bats at DH, they're going to need to bring up a catcher, and it's going to cost a roster spot.
Mike Zunino.
See, I'm glad you said Mike Zunino, because I'm one of his biggest fans. I love Zunino, but his numbers have been a little inconsistent of late. Tonight... in Tacoma, he had his first base hit at home this season. He just hasn't been hitting as well. His power is still there. He's got 5 home runs, 26 runs batted in. That's a lot of production, but his batting average has dipped to .234. And he's super young, and that doesn't scream ready to me, despite the power, which is real. Like, speed doesn't slump. Power's going to be there. But .234 batting average in AAA, that's not some guy you call up.
Yeah. Definitely not.
And so
even Thames is batting better than that, I think, isn't he?
Oh, bring him up, Timmy. Oh, I love Eric Thames. I'd love to see Thames out there, but for catcher, I think that if they do end up, with Shopik playing more catcher, Montero more DH, Morales more first base, you might see a pickup, like a free agent or someone like that. I don't even know who that would be. I don't have a clue, but...
Speaking of free agent pickups, we probably have already talked about this, but another reason that I'm a little bit apprehensive going into these next couple games with the Orioles, not so much about Brandon Maurer, because he's kind of starting to fall into his groove a little bit, but is Harang pitching the next game after that? Because I have zero trust in him, and that might be wrong of me. I don't know him. I've seen him pitch hardly at all, but I just have no trust in him.
In the show notes I wrote, Aaron Harang is bad. His his innings pitched, he's had 3 starts with the Mariners. 5, 4 2/3, 3. 16 earned runs so far. It's more than a run per inning. His ERA is over 11.
So what's stopping us from bringing up Erasmo Ramirez? What's the big roadblock there?
At this point, when you look at Harang, when you look at how terrible Bevin was, there has to be some other reason. Some reason we don't understand with the arbitration with free agency, because Harang's not the answer, and I cannot believe I'm going to say this, but I would rather see Hector Nwesi pitching than Harang.
I'd rather see Blake Bevin pitching than both of them.
Correct. Absolutely. But for some reason, they feel like Bevin and Charlie Furbush are kind of finding a little bit of a zone in that long relief. Bevin looks calm. He just looks like he's having a little bit more fun coming out of the bullpen.
Maybe he just can't take the pressure of starting pitching. And I feel like I say give Furbush a shot. He's been with this club for a number of years. He's put up decent numbers. Not the greatest. You know, he's not going to be a star, but I feel like, you know, give Furbush a shot in that starting spot, because we already have seen over the course of these games that Harang is not doing it, and he's probably not going to start doing it anytime soon.
Yeah, he's scheduled for tomorrow night. He's scheduled for Wednesday, May 1st.
I'm going to that game. So.
Oh, yeah, okay.
I'm going to tomorrow's game, too, though.
Well, that's good. Well, everyone look for Peyton there, get a picture with him. We'll put it on the Facebook page. So, one thing with the lineup that I did want to get your opinion on, because, you know, the fans love Raul Ibanez. The fans, I think Jason Bay, who hit three hits tonight, is starting to produce. And Andy Chavez, who really produced out of the leadoff role while Saunders and Goody were down.
I feel a little bad for, like, complaining about that outfield. I mean,
well, it's not complaining, because you were right. Those three don't make a good defensive outfield.
Yeah.
But now that we have Morse and Saunders, that left field position is becoming a hot commodity where we can afford to put out Raul or Bay. But Andy, that would make it a great defensive outfield.
Yeah.
Who do you see? Do you see a platoon, or what do you think is going to happen in that situation? Better's money.
To a degree, there'll be platoon action, but I don't think if by platoon do you mean, like, you know, two or three different outfielders every night? Because I see it more as, like, the starting core group would be like Chavez in left, Saunders in center, Morse in right, and I like Morse in right more than I like him in left. I cannot explain why.
You don't have any reason.
I don't have a reason. I just do.
Okay.
But, and I see Bay and Ibanez coming in intermittently to give guys days off. And that's what I see happening. I don't see it being like, you know, one day we'll see out there, you know, Chavez, Saunders, and Morse. And then another day we'll see, Morse and, Bay and Ibanez. I don't think that they'll put all those guys out there in the outfield at the same time, or put more than one of them out there at the same time. Because honestly, especially I feel Ibanez is a defensive liability.
That's a fact. He had two errors last week. He had three errors last week before our last show, and just seeing him out there scrambling for grounders or misstepping, just costing the team a run, that's something we can't afford from a left field position. In Ibanez's case, that he can't hit. It's not like, oh, give a little, take a little.
Yeah.
It's just giving up a lot. In left field, I feel bad for Andy Chavez, because I want him out there, but it has to be Jason Bay, Michael Saunders, and Michael Morse right now because of the production. This team has just a history of, you know, sticking with guys because they're the guy.
Yeah.
If you're producing, and, you know, if you want playing time, look what Jason Bay is doing. Getting doubles down the line, figuring out that he's not hitting for power right now, he needs to hit for doubles, and the power will come later. He's adjusting to the ballpark, adjusting to where he is. Saunders gives a speed. Morse is just Morse. We need him in the lineup. We need that bat. I think Chavez will play, but I don't see how Ibanez is going to take a bat from those guys right now.
I don't want to say disgusted is a strong word, but I understand the pull of Ibanez. I understand that he was here before, and I've been saying this a lot. I just don't like him. I don't like seeing him in the lineup. And there will be days where he does good things. I understand that, and I will trash talk him. And then one day he'll hit a home run and bring in, you know, three RBIs from a 3-run homer. And then I'll feel bad for trash talking him, but then two innings later he'll bobble a ball in left field and a double will turn into a triple or something, and then I won't feel so bad. I feel like I just don't like. I have no confidence in him. He's kind of a mascot because he was here before twice.
Yeah,
I'm not really sure what to think of him beyond that.
Speaking of no confidence, our shortstop situation right now has really taken a strange turn. To the point where manager Eric Wedge made a change, I think it was Thursday or Friday, and I found out today. Like, I cover this team, his lineups have been so inconsistent.
Yeah.
That I didn't even notice.
Especially at that, in the middle of the field with Ackley and Ryan, he's had Andino switching out pretty regularly for both of them.
And even spelling Seager once or twice. Andino has been named the starting shortstop in place of Brendan Ryan. Brendan Ryan did start there Monday night, and he will get playing time still. He's too good defensively not to, but Wedge has decided to give Andino a chance, and I'm not really sure why. Here, let me give you their numbers. Player, you know, Brendan Ryan, he's hitting 148. Robert Andino's hitting 190. Lifetime at shortstop, Andino is he's a 92.9% fielding percentage. Ryan's a 97.4. Last year he was 98.5. That's a big difference. It's not. It seems to be less of a difference than the batting average, and yet we're making this switch. I would feel more comfortable if Andino was hitting, and we made this. The switch just seems. There doesn't seem to be a good reason for the switch.
Well, it's like we were saying with, or you were saying with Ibanez, that there's a, if there was a give and take, it'd be one thing. Mm-hmm. If his fielding was a little down, but, you know, he was hitting 300 and had a bunch of RBIs and you know, it'd be one thing. But he's not. He's barely batting higher than Ryan. They're interchangeable at bat in my mind. If I see Andino come to the plate with the bases loaded and two outs, I have no confidence in him. If I see Ryan come to the plate with the bases loaded and two outs, I have no confidence
in him. Same amount of confidence.
So it doesn't matter. I'd rather have the guy who bats poorly who fields well. That's confusing to me. I don't understand it, but that's what it is, and we have to take it because there's nothing we can do.
If you look at like their career best for batting average, Andino's is in the 260s. Brendan Ryan had a year with the Cardinals where he hit 292. It's possible. And then I looked today at the AAA numbers. Nick Franklin won the PCO Player of the Week last week. He's had a very good start to the season. He's hitting 382, three home runs, four stolen bases. Great production.
See, now that's a guy you call up.
Well, I agree. He's 22. Whenever he's deemed ready by the organization, he's going to be a 2020 guy. And then I look to the right and I see Dustin Ackley and I think, why don't we just keep him there for a little bit? And then I look at Andino and Ryan again and I get frustrated.
Yeah.
And I don't know how to balance those two feelings. Which I'm assuming is what the GM and manager are feeling right now.
It's so hard to tell what they're feeling because they do so many things that I wouldn't do. But also, I'm not a major league manager, so...
Not yet.
Not yet. Someday.
Worth noting, Alex Liddy, whom we love, the Italian Stallion, came up with the Mariners. He's been with the Mariners a few times over the last couple of years.
Yeah.
He's 24. He's in 23 games this year. He has 6 home runs, 26 RBI. He's hitting 289, been a consistent bat for the team. Tacoma, very good AAA team right now. They're performing quite well. His third base, you know, you don't want to move Seager, but, you know, you think about the combinations of the infield. I trust Liddy more than I trust Andino. And I'd just rather keep Ryan out there. It's not ideal. But if we're going to move somebody, I'd rather bring up a guy like Liddy that we trust or a guy like Franklin that we're excited about than just putting Andino at
short. The thing about Liddy is that physically looking at him, he just doesn't look like a shortstop or, you know.
He's definitely not a shortstop.
He looks like a first baseman when I look at him.
Hmm.
He's big and he's tall and he looks like he'd be a little too lanky for some of those shortstop plays. But, it's tough because with guys like him, if we were to call him up, which like, this is all totally speculation, where would we put him? What use would we have for him?
I don't know.
Cause I mean, if he can't play a second or short in the middle of the field and he can't replace Andino, who we know Wedge isn't going to send down, he's the starter now. What good is he to our team? I don't think any at this juncture.
He's probably not. I'm just brainstorming here because I don't like the situation at short. In a video game world, we just move Ackley to short and just suffer the consequences, or maybe even Seager. But you know, I would hate to hurt their batting averages by moving them to short.
I wouldn't move Ackley to short because he already moved in from the outfield.
Yeah, and first base in college, yeah.
So I would try to move Seager over because he's had some pretty stellar plays over there in the hot corner. But, you know, I wish Ryan batted well so we didn't have to have this conversation.
Over and over and over again. Yeah, definitely not. If it's one of those, if it ain't broke, don't fix it with Seager at third base. He's playing really well there, and he's hitting well. He had a 16-game hitting streak snapped on Sunday. Right back on the horse tonight. It's great to see that. Let's see here. So, I'm going to run some numbers past you. We're going to play a little game.
I love games.
I know you do. I'm going to run some numbers past you. It's kind of like one of those like numbers versus perception kind of thing. I'm going to tell you where the Mariners rank through April. The numbers we're going into tonight, but I thought it'd be a good little exercise for us. Like, where the Mariners are, how they're hitting, what they're doing in the American League, and like, if that sticks out to you at all. We talked about stolen bases earlier. That's an absurdly low number.
Yeah.
It's probably not going to stay that way. Right now, the Mariners are 14th in runs in the American League.
Okay. That's not bad.
Out of 15.
Oh, American League.
Yeah.
I thought you meant the league.
No, that'd be great.
No, okay. That's not good. No, that's not good at all.
Why don't we do perception, like what you think is that, and then what you think will happen to that number. Do you think that'll be consistent, stay where it is, that'll drop, or that'll get better? What's your thought after, you know, watching this team for a month?
I think it'll get better, but not by much. I think, you know, we could maybe move up to 10 or 9 and get to the point where we can pretty consistently score between anywhere between 1 and 3 or 4 runs a night.
Mm-hmm.
But not more than that. We won't be a big win blowout type team because what we have going for us is our pitching, especially with how well Iwakuma is doing, how well Felix is doing, how well Saunders does at home. Mara's kind of starting to find his footing a little bit. If we can just fill that fifth spot and not have Saunders pitch anywhere but Safeco, then, you know, we'd win a lot of games if we could just score 3 or 4 runs a game.
I'm going to be distracted for a second. Safeco Joe, his next scheduled start is Sunday at Toronto, May 5th. If he skips that start, if he just does a bullpen session, his next scheduled start would have been, I think it's May 11th or 12th at Safeco Field against Oakland. Can we just think out of the box for a second, Eric Wedge, and try this? I know we called for it last week. I'm serious. Let's be a different kind of team that uses our players in positions where they can be their best.
Situational pitching rotation. And it's weird because you want guys to get into a groove. You want them to get into a routine where they know they're pitching every fifth day and they have this time and blah, 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 and they have their rituals and who cares. I think that's a good idea, especially in the case of Saunders, because it doesn't seem like there's that much of a difference for most other pitchers between their home pitching and their away pitching. But for Saunders, it is literally like day and night how different it is.
It really is. And why not pitch Felix a day early? I know that doesn't sound like the greatest thing, but that guy's a horse. If anyone can do it, Felix can.
Or start Furbush. He's just sitting there in the bullpen. Or Bevin. They're both just sitting there in the bullpen. All three of them are.
And they got plenty of rest today. Just throw him out there in 5 days.
See how it goes. Let it ride. Eric Wedge, please do it.
I want to see it happen. I want to see a team be creative. I don't think we've ever seen anything like that. Maybe if we have a pitcher, maybe Harang is actually better on the road. That's not the case. He's terrible everywhere. But let's explore. Let's try it. The Mariners, 7th in hits with 215 for a month. 7th out of 15?
Middle of the road. That's all right.
I was pleased.
Yeah, I'm surprised, actually, yeah. Pleasantly.
And 6th in the American League in home runs with 27.
I could see that, kind of.
Yeah. Do you see that number staying about there, going up or going down?
I see it going up.
Really?
Oh,
see the power coming.
I see the power coming. I see the power coming from Morris. I see the power coming from Seager. I see the power coming from Saunders. Gutierrez has been showing it.
When he's
flashes
there.
When he's around, which, yeah, I mean, hopefully he will be again soon. I see that number going up, but we won't lead the AL in homers or anything. I mean, there might be a time where we hover in the top 5 and maybe fall off, but I think we'll go up a little.
The Mariners are 10th in the American League in ERA with a 4.21 team ERA.
That's not surprising, but that's because our good pitchers are great and our bad pitchers are bad, like super bad.
I saw that, and my first thought was, that's not right. And then I thought about those 10-run games against Houston, and just the, you're absolutely right. We have good pitchers that are great, and we have bad pitchers that are terrible. And the combination of the two isn't good. But it's not bad. 10th in the ERA. I see that ERA decreasing. I see it leveling out over time, and us being like a top 5 ERA team. It's just who the Mariners are.
It's the way we're built.
The Mariners are leading the league in broken hearts and strikeouts with the bases loaded, although both of those stats are unofficial. The team is third in strikeouts, both the good kind and the bad kind. So our team strikes out the third most offensively, and our pitching staff has the third most strikeouts in the American League.
I guess it's a wash, then.
There's some give and take. That's all I want.
It's a wash.
And my favorite stat, the Mariners are tied for first in Major League Baseball in ground into double play. Morales is leading the league.
Wow. He grounds into more double plays than anyone in the league.
As of right now.
Okay, for a second I thought you meant us turning double plays. And I was like, oh, I'm okay with that.
Nope.
Cool, nope. Grounding into double plays. Oh, all right, well.
Not the good kind. And Morse is third. So we are just cruising in that department.
Got to be best at something, I guess. Jeez, that's shameful.
Indeed. Tom Wilhelmsen is money. He's 8-for-8 on saves this year. He's allowed one run all season. Last year we saw Brandon League in April and May just implode when he was given the keys.
Like a dying star.
Yeah, he went from, oh, that guy could be good, to, holy crap, he's amazing, to, oh my gosh, he only has a fastball.
Yeah.
And seeing Tom Wilhelmsen throwing good pitches.
Wicked curveball.
And he hit 97 on the gun. I was like, bartender, give me some. Attaboy. Carter Capps has really stepped up since Stephen Pryor went on the DL. He got the win on Sunday, going multiple innings. And it was good to see that. Good to see that from the Mariners. And those are my notes as far as guys I'm happy with so far. Let's see here. Oh, I have a hypothetical situation for you.
I love hypotheticals.
Okay. Runner on second. Let's make it Saunders. Bottom of the ninth. At Safeco. Two outs. Down by one. Kendrys Morales steps to the plate. He's up there right-handed. They bring in a relief pitcher. He switches to the left side. Cranks a home run. Walk off. How do the Mariners celebrate? Remember, Kendrys Morales lost 2 years of baseball because he hit a home run against the Mariners on a walk-off and broke his leg at home plate. How do the Mariners celebrate a walk-off hit from Kendrys Morales?
Well, what they do is they have the third base coach, like, easing him up as he's rounding third. Easy.
We're going to walk home.
Yeah. They celebrate like crazy, probably. There's going to be some shaving cream in someone's face.
Yeah.
And by someone, I mean Kendrys Morales. And it'd be nice if that happened, because then they'd interview him, and I'd get to see some personality from the dude. Yeah. I have no idea what that guy's like. He just exists as, like, a space of dark matter.
I wonder if he speaks English sometimes.
Yeah, just like, they've never interviewed him. No one's ever talked to him. I've never heard him say anything. No one's ever even secondhand come out and been like, and Kendrys Morales said this. He just seems like, he's an anomaly. He exists as a dark spot in space.
2 years ago, he changed his name from Kendry to Kendrys, and it was like, oh my gosh, he can talk?
Well, yeah, it's weird. And I get the feeling that from him, just looking at his body language and the way he acts, I get the feeling from him that he doesn't want to be here, but he doesn't not want to be here because he doesn't care.
He's just hanging out.
He could care less where he's playing. He could be playing and he could be in Houston, just whatever, just like. And I wish he'd show something to the contrary. Not that he doesn't want to be here. I mean, maybe he doesn't and he's just keeping his mouth shut, but I wish he would pipe up so I could get an idea of what the dude's like.
We, especially I think in the Northwest fans, from what I've gained, we like to know about our players. We like to think that they're good people. When Michael Saunders was in the World Baseball Classic and he was named MVP, but he was disappointed because his team lost, we're like, what a good dude!
Yeah.
Like, yeah, you were amazing, but your team lost and you're upset. That's great. And we love you. Morales, his commercial that he was in, it was just some actor that wanted to have sex with his wife and put perfume on himself and said Kendrys's name.
Yeah. Here's the thing. The reason I think we love our players like that is because we're kind of a mid, smallish market team. We raise a lot of our talent here organically. So we see them coming up through the ranks, and then they get to the big leagues, and then we kind of know them because we've been hearing about them. Even in the case of guys like Montero, who we traded for, we've been kind of nursing him and watching his development and seeing him grow as a player. Kendrys is already where he's going to be. And this he came him. In from out of town. And the thing of it is with teams like the... And I can't speak for the Yankees or for the Red Sox because I don't know what their fans are like or what it's like to be their fan because I despise them. But I feel like for those teams, it's not as much a... They don't care as much about the personality of their players because they're buying all their players already where they're going to be. They're not milking anything in their farm system. They're trading the farm away for guys like Pineda, who turn out to be a bust.
It's working out well. And we have our AAA team in Tacoma, you know, a half hour from here. Well, yeah. It's an hour and a half from here with traffic. And and it's just, you know, we get to be a part of their lives, even though we're not really. It just feels that way. And, like,
well, we get these look through the window into their life.
Brendan Ryan has a t-shirt with a buffalo on it.
That's why I'm going tomorrow. I want that t-shirt.
Is he
going
to play? He's not a starting shortstop anymore.
He better play.
On Buffalo night and everything. I miss Larry Bernandez.
Yeah, what happened to him?
I don't know. I'm sure that Felix just got tired of it. Whatever. I have nothing else to say. How do you feel?
I feel good. I feel like I hope Harang stops pitching soon. I feel like I hope Smoke starts batting better soon. And I feel like I hope that Ackley continues the way he's going. And I'm optimistic, but very cautious. That's my feeling.
Series this weekend against Toronto and then at Pittsburgh after this current series against Baltimore. Great opportunity for the Mariners to face some really good teams. You know, right now these three teams are both, you know, in the hunt in their division. We'll see how it goes. I'm excited as well, trying to contain it. But it's a little more fun right now than it was a week and a half ago.
Sometimes I sit and I think, like, I try to remember back to I was a little kid. I was like 10 or 11 in the 2001 season, the miracle season. And I try to remember, what was it like?
Can you imagine doing a podcast that year? It would have been a joke.
It would have just been like, well, I wonder if they'll win tomorrow.
It would just be me and you being like, oh, Brett Booney's pretty good. Yeah, Edgar's pretty good.
Yeah, Edgar gets hits. How about Ichiro? Crazy, huh?
Wonder who's going to win the MVP, one of our three candidates.
How many guys did we send to the All-Star game that year? An insanely high number.
All of them.
The AL All-Star team was just the Mariners.
And Pinella, yeah, it was great. No one took steroids better than that team. And no, I am not talking about Edgar. Don't you dare think that out there. Edgar Martinez needs to be in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah,
we haven't talked about that yet.
Yeah, he does.
The DH award is named after him. Like, every year they give a DH award, like Ortiz wins it all the time, but it's the Edgar Martinez Award. How can you have an award like that and not have him in the Hall of Fame?
Also, how weird must it be for David Ortiz to have a wall full of awards named after a dude he played against for years? Like, you know?
I just look at my wall of trophies and I just see Edgar's name on there.
And how much better he was than me for his whole career. Like, and now that he's gone, I get to be him.
Dude, today... I know we talk about announcers too much on this show, but that's okay. So Dave Sims...
Oh, that shuffle on the radio was insane.
Well, it was cool. It was funny because Blowers mentioned it on TV. He was like, something happened on the radio. I had to go over there for an inning. Because, like, he just disappeared from the broadcast. And the Bone was in there. Buehner was in there with Dave Sims.
Well, Buehner was in there for an inning on the radio podcast.
Oh, I don't know what happened.
And then he went to the he left for the TV, and then Riz did an inning, like, by himself, and then Goldsmith showed up and did a few innings, and then Blowers was there with both Goldsmith and Riz for a while. I listened to the game on the radio. I didn't watch it on TV, so I don't know what the TV broadcast was like, but I can only imagine that it was like a musical chairs of announcers.
I think it was the fourth inning. Buehner told a story for the inning. Like, Dave Sims didn't talk. Like, Buehner's telling the story, and you can tell Sims is just like, they kept showing the booth, which they rarely do, but I think they wanted to show you how annoyed Sims was that Buehner was still talking. And Sims finally goes, all right, this is a big situation here. And then Ryan struck out, and he was like, never mind, we'll be back. Just defeated.
I remember Rick Riz. I mean, I love Jay Buhner. You gotta love the Bone. Sure. He's a legend. But I remember that Rick Riz.
Tell him the Bone sent you.
Rick Riz, in the first inning, he was only there for the first, turns to him and goes, Jay, would you ever walk up to the plate thinking to yourself, I'm going to try to hit a home run this at bat? And Jay Buhner, like, he made the biggest mistake asking him that question, because Jay Buhner just goes, well, you know, I never would walk up thinking I'm going to try to hit a home run this time. I would always just try to hit hard balls. Hard hit balls is what I'm going for. And, like, stuff is happening. I'm hearing balls get hit.
You can hear.
I can hear balls getting hit on the field. I can hear people cheering, and I'm like, okay, what's happening? And Rick Riz is trying to be like, and there's a go, and the quick grounder to the short, and the whole time Jay Buhner is just like, he'll quiet down just for long enough for Riz to be like, oh yeah, a quick grounder to short end, and he's out at first, and I'm trying to hit hard hit balls,
hard
hit balls, you know, and it's
crazy. I wonder
crazy.
If that's the story he told in the fourth inning on TV.
wouldn't surprise me one bit.
The 2001 year, Ichiro's rookie year. Harry Carey was the announcer for the Cubs. He's really infamous, I think, for our generation. Will Ferrell parody on SNL. And
my favorite planet is the sun!
So Harry Carey is announcing a Mariners-Cubs game, which doesn't happen very often. It didn't happen, you know, interleague play. It was very sporadic. And Harry Carey spends an inning trying to spell Ichiro's name backwards and figure out what it would, like, how it would print, how it would sound backwards, Ichiro, but like, he spent the whole inning, and you can just hear pitches being thrown, you can hear the fans yelling, and he just is like, O-R-H-C, no, that ain't right. Well, off to the third inning, and like, then goes to commercial, and it's just like, he did that for so long.
I have a question, doctor. If the moon was made out of barbecue spare ribs, would you eat it? Hell, I would. I'd go back for seconds, and then I'd wash it down with a tall, cool Budweiser. That was my impression of Will Ferrell's impression of Harry Carey.
That was spot on.
I think that's a good note to end on.
Thank you for listening.
All right, have a good night.
Cheers. Do you use chapstick?
Yes.
I have some if you'd
like. No, I'm not asking. I've been trying to give it up.
Using chapstick?
Yeah.
I don't use it very often. I keep it around for if my lips feel dry.
Well, someone told me that it's like, it's got like fiberglass in it, like that, like the chapstick, they just wanted to get you to buy more chapstick. You just want...
Oh.
I give it up for like a month and it sucks.
Really?
I think about it all the time. It's like a vegetarian.
Oh, like you think about eating
all the time. I just think about chapstick all the time. I'm trying to get... I don't know. Go ahead and talk into the mic. Let's see how the levels are.
Hello. I'm talking into the mic. The levels. How are they?
The levels.
The levels.